public hearing on, I'm going to open up the House Committee on Human Services today, Friday, February 13th, 2009, and I will open up a public hearing on House Bill 2205. Do we have anybody here from the Child Care Division? Very strange. Do you want to read what this bill is about?
This bill gives the Child Care Division of the Oregon Employment Department authority to impose a civil penalty of up to $500 on facilities that violate statutes governing certified child care facilities and allocates the penalty monies to the Child Care Fund.
I find it very weird that nobody is here to testify on this bill. They were notified, right?
Yes. I spoke with them yesterday and was under the impression that they would be here this morning.
All right. Joe, I see you're here. Do you want to say anything?
Sure. You know, Madam Chair, we do have a retired senior trooper here protecting us. He might want to say something, as well.
He has never testified, and he's been here often.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Joe Basler. I work for Oregon AFSCME. We represent the certified and registered child care providers of the state of Oregon. We act as their bargaining unit. There's several thousand that we bargain for. We bargain their subsidy rates and their business practices and things like that. We have a problem with the bill moving the fines from $100 to $500 on a lot of our folks who, the certified child care providers, can have up to 16 children underneath their care. Most often they have more like around 12, and very few times do they have 16 at any given time in their facilities. This would put them on the same level as major child care facilities that could have up to hundreds of kids. So we kind of feel like having a small business owner with 16 folks, 16 children, having them pay the same fines as a place with 200 children is kind of weird and disproportionate, especially when registered child care providers, which can have 10 or under, are still at the $100 level. And we would feel like our certified child care providers would be more aligned with that group of registered providers. But that's pretty much all I have. That's our biggest concern, is that it's going to be a really healthy fine for a small business owner. All right. Thank you.
You bet. Any questions? Representative Freeman.
Madam Chair.
I mean, not Freeman.
I'm the other Freeman up north. Thank you, Joe. What types of infractions are we talking about that penalties are usually?
Usually it's for having too many children. Having one or two. So if you have your license, you're registered to have 12, then, you know, someone brings an extra child with them and you end up with 13. I think also for not being delinquent on your on the fees that you have to pay to make sure you're registered. We do accept if someone breaks the rules, they should definitely pay a fine. We have no problem with that. It just $500 could be a really big kick in the pants, I think is a good way to put it. And we also have found that, you know, the inspectors, we've had members, it's anecdotal, but we've had members who have had a violation, have had like 13 children when they're only supposed to have 12 on one time, get no fine, and then the inspector will come back a couple months later, they'll have done it again, they'll have too many children, and the inspector will fine them for the previous violation and for the current violation at the same time. And under this, that would be $1,000 versus $200. And so that's why we're concerned. Does that help?
Yes, thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Olson.
Joe, did you ever get a chance to sit down with the department to work through this?
I haven't. Then that's my fault. I mean, I've recently been assigned this issue from us due to a child care issue. My coworker is on maternity leave. I just found out about it last week, talked to the providers, and haven't had a chance to talk to the division yet.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm assuming you will be.
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Any other questions? Thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you.
And I would imagine that somebody from the division would like to come and speak.
Okay. Chair, if I may, members of the committee, my name is Tom Olson. I'm administrator of the Child Care Division. And with me is Kathleen Hines, our legal and compliance manager. I'm sorry we're a little late this morning. We had the wrong time on our calendar.
Oh. Continue with you.
Thank you. House Bill 2205, which is the one we're discussing at the moment, does in fact give the Child Care Division the authority to assess fines against certified child care facilities. Right now, the division has that authority for registered family child care providers. Those are small in-home facilities that care for up to 10 children. We do not have the same authority for larger facilities, which we feel is not equitable to begin with. And also, we have a problem, or industry has a problem with that, too, because it's one tool in our toolkit, or our regulatory toolkit, that we don't have available to us. Right now, if we're dealing with a certified facility, our only recourse is to work with the facility to come into compliance. If they do not, we have to take legal action against their license. There's no interim step available. And so in the discussions we have had with the industry, and we have actually had discussions with Ask Me on this in the past, this seemed to be a good way to get around that, because it would give us that option to do something short of basically telling them that, well, you're either going to have to come into compliance, or we're going to suspend you, or we're going to revoke you, or we'll deny your license the next time it comes up. This gives us a way to take that sort of intermediate action. And it is supported by, as I say, most of the industry people we've talked to. I heard that I think the gentleman is probably from Ask Me. We have discussed this with Ask Me and in the past, and their position has changed.
Okay, thank you. Did you want to speak?
Representative Tomei, I'm just here to answer questions.
Okay, great. Any questions? Yes.
Curiosity question. So the industry has agreed to go from basically not being under your purview, you know, as far as penalties or anything, to saying, yeah, $500 is okay for a penalty?
Chair Tomei, Representative Huffman, the $500 would not be assessed in most cases. It gives us a range. If in registered family child care, we'll do a penalty of $100. In certified families, some of these are certified centers. Some of these are fairly large facilities. Some of them have upwards of 50 to 100 children and many staff. In cases like that, it may be that we need to assess a larger penalty, or if the occurrence is more egregious, we may want to do something a little bit more to get their attention. But it's not our intention to assess a $500 penalty. It would be our intention to start as low as possible and work our way up, which is the way we work with the providers anyway. We really try to work with the providers short of ever getting to the penalty phase. We'll do a work plan. We'll do checkups. We'll ask, you know, what can we help you do? And we really don't ever assess fines until it gets to the point where it's obvious they're not listening to us.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm having a little bit of trouble understanding the difference between registration and certification. So these are phrases that just seem to don't define much for me. So registration, one provider, if I could fit 10 children in my home, mm-hmm. I could be a registered child care worker. If a certification, I could have up to 16, correct?
Madam Chair, you could have, if you're a family child care provider, you could have up to 16. If you're a certified center, you could have upwards of 100 children. Certified centers are in facilities that are constructed specifically to be that sort of an operation. A certified family home is in a family residence. It's a way of getting a slightly higher standard into family child care. Certified family child care providers receive more inspections. We inspect them twice a year. In registered family, it's once every 2 years.
I know that Representative Boone had a question, and Cowan, you sound like you do, and then Representative Maurer.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why. If there are so many, we get a lot of complaints about family child care, and if you don't issue fines, what's the impetus to correct the problem if you don't issue the fines until after several violations, or that you only inspect a home care every 2 years? That's a long time. I'm just curious why.
Chair Tomei, Representative Boone. In registered family child care, although we only inspect every 2 years, we've recently established an annual visit, and the interim visit that we do is a technical assistance visit, at which point we will try to work with them around training or other issues that they need. So we've now gotten to a point where we actually have a presence in registered family child care once a year. But in many small family child care, the fine is actually of some monetary significance. A lot of these folks are low-income, single mothers that have chosen to open a family child care business in their homes so that they can stay home with their children. And even though $100 doesn't sound like a lot, it is a lot to some of these folks. And so we frequently spend a lot of time working with them short of actually issuing a monetary sanction, because in many cases it is an issue to them if they had to pay that $100, and so we try to avoid it. In certified homes and certified centers, those folks in many cases have a more stable business model. They have more disposable income. They have a better cash flow. In those cases, they would probably respond better to a fine, but again, we don't have that authority right now to be able to use it.
Isn't that bizarre that you have the authority
in
registered homes, but not in certified?
Chair Tomei, yes, it is.
Hence the need for the language.
Right, yes. Yeah. Representative Cowan, and then Representative Maurer.
Well, I think my question has been answered, so let me just make sure I understood it then. In a registered home is the family home up to 10 children, and you currently have the authority to assess fines up to $100. And now we're talking about certified family child care, which is also a family home type setting, but up to 16, and then the certified center of however many. And there is no authority to assess at this point. Thank you. I know that's what we just heard. I just wanted to make sure I got it.
Yeah, it doesn't quite fit, does it? Representative Maurer.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Is there a way you could, since there obviously appear to be two classes, that you could have a level of fine for registered homes and a level of fine maximum for certified?
Madam Chair, Representative Maurer, this is what we're trying to get to with the language. Right now, it's $100 per occurrence for registered family. We're asking for the authority to fine up to $500 in certified child care. And when I say up to, that would not mean that we would immediately go in and fine everybody $500, but we want to have a scale so that if we're dealing, for instance, with a large corporate center that for some reason has chosen to ignore our advice in the past, that we could get their attention.
Okay, so that's not
follow-up?
That's not where I'm going.
Okay.
My question then is, does the language in this bill only apply to certified facilities?
Madam Chair, Representative Maurer, yes.
So the registered homes aren't having an increase in their... Okay.
Madam Chair, that's correct.
Madam Chair.
Representative Olson.
Thank you. Maybe you said this already and I didn't catch it. How did you come to the number of $500? I understand that you're wanting flexibility there, but I'm just curious.
Madam Chair, Representative Olson, we surveyed some other states that, and of course other states pretty much assess fines, and we just sort of asked them what sort of a fine do you assess in centers? And some of them go up to $1,000. We just picked, frankly, we arbitrarily picked $500 because $1,000 sounded too egregious to me, but it gave us a range that a small but flexible range we could work within.
Okay, thank you.
So, how often is a registered child care provider fined?
Madam Chair, it's not very often. Kathleen, can you, want to hazard a guess at how many fines we might issue?
Representative Tomei, committee members, we probably impose about, I would say, 20 to 30 civil penalties on registered family providers a year right now.
And so how much would those fines be?
I would say, Representative Tomei, members of the committee, about, they average about $100. We, in rare occasions, again, when there's been multiple violations, may impose a penalty of $200, again, for the multiple violations, because it, the authority gives us an ability to impose a $100 fine per violation. And so, for example, if we go into a home and there are three serious violations that there are, in a registered family child care, a provider is only allowed to care for two children under two, no more than two children under two. If they have five children under two and 12 children or 13 children in the home, and it's the second time that's happened, we may very well impose a penalty of $200. I can't think of a time that we've gone over $200 with registered family child care because, again, as Tom Olson has said, it usually it can impose a financial problem for the providers, and our goal is to bring them into compliance and work with them, and if that doesn't work, then impose a penalty, and then if that doesn't work, use escalating enforcement tools.
So you only go in every 2 years to a registered home, correct?
Chair Tomei, members of the committee, that's correct, except we have just, as Tom Olson has indicated, we've just recently instigated, it's called an announced review visit. It's a technical assistance visit that we do in the interim year. But we call the provider. We say we're coming. We bring materials and that kind of thing. However, we do go out. If we get a complaint, if someone calls or contacts us with a complaint about a provider, we go out on every single one of those complaints. So we will be out more often in those cases.
I'm going to ask a few more questions here. So... if you find a complaint, if you see a concern, somebody has two infants or three infants instead of whatever amount they're supposed to have, so would you go back then sooner in order to check that and make sure they're not continuing that behavior?
Chair Tomei, members of the committee, yes, that's part of our practices. It's actually called a compliance verification visit, and we always go back.
Okay. Yes. All right. President Dimbo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The graduated nature of the fining that happens now and that you envision would happen in the future, is that captured in rule somewhere? Is it written in a written form so that providers would have access to it? I mean, this legislation will give you the authority to go up to $500. You don't intend to use it that often. You intend to tie the penalty to the size of the facility and the seriousness of the violation, et cetera. I'm just wondering if there are some guidelines that are written or if that's your intention, that you'll enter into a kind of rulemaking.
Chair Tremay, Representative Demereaux, we don't have it in rule at this point in time. If the legislation passes, we can and probably will put it in rule, because right now the way we approach it with registered family care is as a training issue with our staff. We have internal policies about, and we train our staff as to when you use your authority and when you don't, and how best to get to a win-win situation. And it's more informal than that, but we would be more than happy to put guidelines and rules so people would understand how we use that fining authority.
Thank you. I think that's a good idea.
So in the certified facilities, you go twice a year. So if there are infractions there, what's the process?
Kathleen?
Chair Tomei, members of the committee, it's very similar. If there are infractions, we will there'll be a notification of disposition of valid of the complaint or a valid observed noncompliance. There'll be a written record of that. And the provider facility has an opportunity to provide a written response to that. And again, we would go back out on a compliance verification visit to ensure that they put those corrections in place and maintaining them. If problems continue, and we will, again, we continue to work with the facility, and then because we don't have an ability, we don't have that tool for a civil penalty at this point, we make the decision whether we can continue to work with the facility, whether we think we can ultimately get them into compliance by working with them, bringing in other mentoring programs, other assistance to them, or whether then we have to go towards suspension and revocation of their license.
So the certified center could have up to 100 children.
Mm-hmm.
So if they continue to violate the rules, the only tool you have in your toolbox if they don't comply is to close them down. Is that correct?
Chair, to me, members of the committee,
you can't find them, right?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Representative Boone.
Yeah, I guess my concerns are when we started registering family daycare, people tend to think that that's a higher level of care because it's registered and the state regulates it, et cetera. And to, you know, for someone who's providing child care in their home without being registered or whatever, basically you could operate almost at the same level of oversight, in that the unregistered people would not be having visits from you unless there was someone called the police or something like that. Then they'd have to go check it out. But it sounds like when you go visit them, you call them first. And having been a restaurant owner, when the health department calls you, what do? You go you make sure everything's perfect. And so you would take those other two-year-olds out of there, you know, you'd give them to the neighbor next door or whatever. And I mean, I'm just curious how that figures into your purview when you only visit once every 2 years, why you would call, why you wouldn't just show up.
Madam Chair, Representative Boone, that's a bit of the tension that we have dealt with in the past in terms of trying to establish a regulatory authority that works for the needs of Oregon. Up until 2000, we actually, up to that point in time, we had a system in place called registration without inspection, which meant that we didn't go into family child care at all. In order to start a business to care for up to 10 kids, what you had to do was to pass a criminal history check and sign, self-certify on a little form saying that you've met certain basic health and safety standards, pay a $30 fee, and you're in business. We finally got the authority in 2000 to start dealing with registered family child care, and we had significant discussion before the legislative body about whether or not we were overreaching and whether what we were doing is trying to regulate grandma. And this is the compromise we struck every 2 years. Do we think that we would like to have more visits in those homes unannounced? Yes. That's not the question we're bringing to you now. We would first, of course, have to have discussions with the union on that topic. And then, of course, we would have to have a serious policy discussion here. But I understand your concern.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.
So how many registered homes are there?
Madam Chair, there are about 3,600.
3,600?
That's correct.
Thank you.
And about 1,000 centers. And about 450 certified family homes.
150?
450. So we have a total of about 5,000 licensed child care facilities in the state of Oregon.
So do you notify, whenever you visit any of these facilities, you notify them? You don't just drop in on any of them?
Madam Chair, no. In certified family child care and certified centers, we do an unannounced visit. We have the statutory authority to do an unannounced visit in those facilities. Registered care is where we have had the problem because, like I say, it was broadly seen by the legislature and others as trying to regulate just what neighbors were doing in their communities. We recently instituted the annual technical assistance visit. It isn't specifically called for in the statute, but it's within our purview to at least go in and get and try to work with the folks on an annual basis. And of course, the one tool that we do have is complaints. If there's something strange going on in the home, we investigate about 850 complaints a year. The parents that are in there, the neighbors observing things, if they see something that's not quite right, they'll call us. And we go out on every complaint. And those visits are always unannounced.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Would you have a question?
Yeah, but I'll defer to the good
representative. Are you sure, Representative Mouse?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, I was writing and thinking, and I think I heard maybe that there were like 35 fines imposed for 2008 or something. Let me just ask, how many fines were imposed in 2008, and out of those fines imposed, how many of them were lower than 100?
Chair Tomei, Representative Huffman, members of the committee, I don't have the exact number of how many fines were imposed. I can get that for you. I can fairly safely say at most there was one fine less than 100. Otherwise, 100 is pretty standard with our current authority with registered family child care.
Just a comment, Madam Chair. I was just kind of curious and wanted to point out that current law gives the division authority to assess fines up to 100. The request is to have the ability to impose fines on certified centers of penalties up to 500, but we've been told that the intention is not to do the maximum, but apparently history shows us that maximum is what has been happening in the registered center, so I'm a little concerned there. And I'd like to have a discussion, maybe in a work group or something, about maybe a little more fair penalty imposition or something like a per-child fee or something like that.
So it would be graduated.
$250 per child on the first offense, $5 per child on the second, so that the largest center with 100 children at $5 per child on the second offense would get to the $500. But if it's an innocent infraction the first time and they only have 80 children, maybe it would be, you know, a $200 fine. Just some thoughts.
Interesting idea. Thank you. Representative Maurer.
Thanks, Madam Chair. The question I have is, you know, when you go into a facility, anytime there's an inspector coming into your facility, whether you're a restaurant or a medical clinic or a child care facility, there's an unequal power structure. And you realize that. And when you conduct these inspections, how much of the inspection is subjective and how much of the inspection is objective? Say, here's the standard. I mean, the number of children is clearly an objective standard, and that's easily seen and measured and hard to deny when it's good or bad. So how much of that inspection is subjective? Because I think that clearly is an area that frustrates the regulated when the regulator essentially makes stuff up just because they feel like they need to.
Go ahead.
Chair Tomei, Representative Maurer, that's a good point. We have a management structure with our staff. We have three regional managers, a field services supervisor, and then my position as legal and compliance manager. Any civil penalty has to be reviewed at the highest level. That's my level or the field services manager before it's imposed. In terms of the objectivity or subjectivity of the licensing specialists when they go into a facility and observe what they consider a valid complaint or valid noncompliance, it has to be a violation of the rules. And this is an ongoing training that we conduct throughout the year with our staff. And one of our favorite questions is, show me the rule. which rule is it violating? And they know that. And I think our licensing specialists actually are quite professional. It's part of the training when they first come on. We all carry our own opinions and values into situations, especially, I think, when it comes to a vulnerable population like children. So I think it's a strong philosophy. I found it's a very strong philosophy in our division that we follow the rules and that it's an objective analysis of a violation of a rule, and the facts must be laid out, and the rule that is violated must be stated. So I believe we minimize that subjectivity. If there is some question, then it's reviewed with a manager. I will also note that providers have, we have a grievance process in place, which is an internal review process. So if a provider or facility disagrees with a valid finding on a complaint or an observed noncompliance, they can request a grievance review with the licensing specialist regional manager. And then if they don't like that outcome, it comes to my level. And if they don't like that outcome, it goes to Mr. Olson, the administrator. So they do have an opportunity to have those decisions reviewed. And they have occasionally been reviewed and changed.
Comment?
Bob, maybe, comment?
Yes, ma'am. Maybe you need to train some other regulators in this state if that's the way you do it.
Colleagues, I think there is a huge hole here that has not been addressed. And I guess I would like to move on this, and I understand Representative Huffman suggested that there be a work group looking at some of these issues. Would you be willing to head that? And maybe you and Representative Boone could work with perhaps AFSCME and with these folks? Great. Are other people as interested in, as I am, in following through on this? Mm-hmm. Great. All right, do you have anything to add? All right, you can stay right there because we've got another bill. So I'm going to close the public hearing on 2205 and open up a public hearing on 2206. Keeley.
This bill prevents child care providers whose licenses have been denied, suspended, revoked, or voluntarily surrendered in lieu of legal action from continuing to care for children or operate a preschool. And it also prevents individuals who are denied, suspended, or removed from the criminal history registry for cause from providing care to children or operating a preschool.
Thank you. Can you talk to us about your bill?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, yes, I'll give you the high-level version, and then Kathleen can delve into the technicalities. Right now, just to make it as simple as I can, the division is in a position, if we take a legal action against someone's license, if we go out and find the conditions to be just deplorable to the point where we have to shut them down, and they actually do have to be in pretty bad shape for us to take that action, we are now put in the position of saying to the provider, you can no longer be licensed, but which three children would you like to keep? Because exempt care, the statutes in Oregon allow a provider to care for up to three children that are not related to them without being licensed.
Oh, my God.
The state has a lot of exempt providers. There are more children in exempt child care in Oregon than there are in licensed child care. And so you can understand how this can be a real problem, because if someone is operating a facility that is just flat unsafe, and we take action against that facility and take their license away, they can still continue to care for up to three children for pay by parents. Now, I want to make it very clear that if we close a facility's license, the Department of Human Services subsidy program will not pay them for subsidized care, but they can still take money from parents on the free market to care for up to three children, and that's the loophole that this closes.
Questions. So we have some written information that was given us earlier from the Oregon Commission for Child Care that they support these two bills. And the Oregon Employment Department, what, that's you, isn't it?
That's us, that's correct.
So any discussion of this, colleagues? Any questions or concerns about this?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll just say that if this bill closes that loophole, I'm all over it. We need to do that.
Actually, I happen to have had a situation like this where it's a very, very long story, but the woman who had been sentenced to prison for abuse did come back and care for three children. It was just horrific. So I guess I thought over the years that that had been taken care of, and obviously it is not. So do we have interest in the committee to pursue this? Representative Maurer.
Madam Chair, a question would be, does this apply for paid care? I mean, I'm looking at the, not the egregious, but the, you know, where there's, at the closer to the normal end of the spectrum, where you're now, you have two kids, your own, you've had a license revoked, but you still have your own children, and they're not taken away, they're still there, and would that prohibit you from even watching your neighbor's kid for an hour when they go shopping? It's only for paid care?
Chair Tomei, Representative Maurer, member of the committees, pay isn't really the determining factor, but there are other provisions in the statute that would permit that person to occasionally care for their neighbor's child with a neighbor's concurrence, whether it's paid or not. There are exceptions for occasional care. So what this does, and we work very hard with legislative counsel, it's amazing how complicated these things can be, but it brings these folks under the purview of needing to be licensed. They don't get to take advantage of that three-child exemption. A person in the state of Oregon right now can provide care on an occasional basis, which has been defined 70 days or fewer during the year, and not have to be licensed. So if they occasionally watch their neighbor child, that they would still be able to do that.
I'm sure. So that is referenced in one of these ORSs that's identified in the bill?
Not ordinarily engaged in child care or on an occasional basis. There is a definition in there yet. I'm sorry, not in this bill. It's in the statute, the current statute.
Yes.
I believe that it is actually referenced in one of these, you know, in the bill that it goes back to this, because I do recall reading that definition, and I wouldn't have done that unless, as I was reviewing the bill, I hit that statute. So I think that occasional care definition is in one of the refer backs.
It is.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
So talk some about preschool. So you're saying these folks that might have a criminal history, they can, as the law is now, they can run a preschool and have an unlimited number of children in a preschool?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Oregon statute right now allows someone to operate a preschool and be licensed exempt if they provide care for 4 or less hours a day.
That is unreal.
Any further questions?
That's pretty wild.
And, Madam Chair, we hope to bring some legislation correcting that problem to the next session. We're talking with the Commission for Child Care about this right now. Exempt care in Oregon is an issue that has been on my mind for a long time. We have a lot of it, and that has sort of been the way we liked it, I think, in the past. But I think people are understanding now that there are more people out there than we think that are willing to do bad things to kids.
I'm just stunned. And I actually personally would hate to see us wait two more years to do something like this if we can amend something here or whatever, if that's possible. To knowingly allow something like this to go forward for another 2 years seems unconscionable to me. I mean, is that possible? Can we do that?
I don't know.
Madam Chair, Representative Boone. Let me just say there are a lot of these places. We don't really know how many, of course, because they're exempt, but we have estimates that there are thousands of them.
Thousands.
There are folks that run regular preschools that have a shingle out that you see when you drive by, and you drop your child off there for up to 4 hours a day. And then there are people who are home providers that provide what they call preschool in their homes, and heaven knows how many of those that there are. This would be a large FTE and resource issue. We do not have enough licensors to look at this population, and that's why we've asked for advice from the Commission for Child Care as to how do we deal with this population, because there are many of them, and it's going to be a huge fiscal note attached to any legislation that deals with this.
Madam Chair. I mean, I understand what Representative Boone is saying and everything, but I get what where you're wanting to go with this, too, why you're kind of holding off 2 years, because you want to get your hands wrapped around how big this thing is and really kind of get some good direction for it.
Yes, Representative Nelson, that's correct.
Madam Chair, I would assume that the licensing fee, if you were to regulate these, would essentially cover your cost, no?
Madam Chair, Representative Maurer, no, not really. We charge a very, very minimal licensing fee because, again, this tends to be a very low-income population, and we want to encourage family child care providers to be able to stay in business. Our licensing fee for a 2-year license is $35.
So I think the thing that is most concerning to me are the preschools. How much... And there's no license fee for that. So, following up on what Representative Boone is talking about, but if you did charge a license for those, would that cover the FTE to visit these places?
Madam Chair, we'd have to cost out what that fee would be. It would have to be considerably more than we currently charge.
And see, now you charge nothing for those.
Preschool. I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I was talking about what we charge to our registered family child care providers and our certified family child care providers. Our center fees are actually also very low. We charge $100 when they enroll, and then we charge $2 per licensed slot. So if they have 100 children, it costs them $200 a year. So we would have to completely re-examine our fee structure. We've always kept it low because, like I say, we want to encourage child care supply and do everything we can to encourage good child care to be provided in Oregon. On the other hand, if we raise the fees, if we just raise them on the preschool section to cover the FTE, it would be probably considered to be unfair, and if we charged everybody across the board, I think organizations like AFSCME would probably want to have a discussion with us.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions?
Madam Chair, is there another way to address this issue by attempting to get your arms around the numbers by establishing a low-cost registration process in order, as a first step, I mean, $25 or something that would attempt, because you're in your research, you're going to have to know how many there are. If you don't know how many there are, you don't know what you're dealing with. And just make it a mandatory registration, but just leave it at that. And then
registration without inspection, because there wouldn't be enough FTE to inspect, right?
But, I mean, clearly the intent would be you need to start bringing this, reining this in.
Madam Chair, Representative Maurer, funny you should ask. There is a bill coming forward. It doesn't have a number yet, I don't believe, and it deals with not preschools, but it's what it deals with right now is school age care. That would be big brothers, big sisters, summer camps, that population, YMCAs, And what we're trying to accomplish with that, again, these folks are generally exempt. What we want to do is to at least have them have a criminal history check and to sign up with the division saying, I'm providing these services, I have a criminal history check, I don't have anything in my background, and pay a small fee to allow us to operate the program and to track them. But that's exactly what we're trying to get at, is to track that population. And there are also a whole lot of folks in that venue. We asked the Commission for Child Care to look at this issue about 2 years ago, and they've held hearings around the state. They first decided to take on the issue of license-exempt school-age care, and that's what the bill deals with. So that is going to be pretty much form exactly the type of a process that you're mentioning, Representative Maurer, for that population. And then it would be fairly easy to fold the preschool population into that type of a situation. We'll do this as our intention is to do this as a pilot for a while to see how it works, find out how many after school age providers are out there, and then to move that into the preschool population.
I just see the preschoolers as being, that's such a vulnerable population.
Follow
I
up,
just
ma'am?
Feel so concerned about that.
Why would you not fold the preschool into this bill?
Madam Chair, Representative Maurer, when that bill comes before you, we can certainly have that discussion.
Okay.
Representative Madam Chair, I agree with you 1,000%. That is just stunning to me. We license tattoo artists, cosmeticians to the max. My person who does my pedicures cannot touch me above my ankle, for example, and she will get a horribly huge fine for that. Because that, in, you know, is regulated. So, and tattoo parlors have to meet health standards, et cetera, and age standards, et cetera. But to be allowed to say I'm opening a preschool, no background check, no regulation whatsoever, just as long as you don't go 4 hours a day. And the word I'm getting at is in my area some years ago, and I'm going to do the research into it because I'm curious, but there was a horrible case locally of a preschool, and that basically the children were put down for naps, they were drugged, then they were taken to an adult club where they were handled by adults and brought home to their parents who can understand the behaviors that were developing. This was totally unregulated, and when some of the names of the community people who were in the club came forward, you would not believe the upheaval and the tamping down of the interference of the authorities. I mean, I'm just getting goosebumps thinking about it. And that's exactly what could happen under a case like this. And I just, these children are, what, 3-4 years old? And that I'm just stunned that this is the way it is here. After, there are, that's not the only case that that's been, I know that. But all over the country these things happen. You hear about them in Liège, Belgium. Remember all those children who were killed? The same kind of thing, and I just can't believe that we are operating like this in this state.
So I think we're getting the message from this committee that we would like you to include preschool in that bill. And Representative Cowan. Oh, she's got some thoughts.
I'm sorry, but Madam Chair, I'm going to have to ask our committee to calm themselves a little bit. We can review egregious situations that no one in their right mind would find acceptable. And there are, in some of the examples I've heard mentioned here today, undoubtedly a gazillion violations of law when those things are uncovered. I just need to throw out a word of caution when we hear the department mention that they are understaffed, and if you throw in a whole nother level of regulation that's not currently being done, we will have to face the fiscal impact of doing that, and this is a very difficult time to face those kinds of fiscal impact. I was just, the reason I have one of the ORS books here in front of me is I was sort of reading through where the exemptions are, and I'm going to throw out for consideration a certain degree of parental responsibility in the whole process of figuring out where your child is being cared for or what your child is attending, and doing some of your own research before you put your child in situations that might be questionable. I am not saying that we shouldn't look at this, but I just think that we need to keep some of those pieces of caution in our mind and not be completely emotional about the direction that we need to go. Thank you for indulging me.
Thank you, Representative Mallard. Thank you. We have other people who are here to testify also, unless we have any more quick questions, and we can call these people up again if we have questions after the other testimony. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank
you. So we have...
No,
that's all we have?
That's all we have on the list.
Oh, all right, then stay here. The two of you had agreed to do a work group on with the folks in the department and with AFSCME about 2205. Would you be willing to include 2206 and perhaps look at the other legislation that they're working on to see if it would be feasible to bring in what do they call them? Preschools. Great. Appreciate that. Do you have anything more you want from us?
No, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there anyone here who would like to testify on these two bills who have not signed up their names? All right. I'm going to close the public hearing on 2206. I really appreciate you two being willing to work on this outside of committee. I think that I'm certainly appalled, and I think most of us are, that I think when somebody puts out a preschool sign outside their homes, and I see them now as I drive through my neighborhood, I just assume there is somebody who has said, you are capable of doing this. It never occurred to me that there would not even be a criminal check.
And people can be very manipulative and convincing.
Oh,
and
yes.
Very, these are the people we read about in the paper. Oh, they were so nice.
Yeah. They would never do that.
You know, I think Representative Cowan's point needs to be noted. First off, I mean, we know of the most egregious cases because they show up in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them we are going to know about because they never show up in the newspaper.
That's right.
And I would prefer, and the financial issue is huge, but we need to figure out, you know, let's not just leap too far. Let's take maybe a baby step, and because I don't want to put us in a financial hardship position.
Yeah.
Because and these facilities, I would assume, if they're operating as a business, already have to have, quote, a city business license or a county business license, depending on where they are. You put out a shingle, then you're in a different, little bit of a different realm.
But that would just be applied.
That would have
no
nothing to do with the protection of the
right.
children. It's just
right.
close to business license. But
and that's something. It's some that's not in the all cases because in some unincorporated areas, for example, I don't think there's any kind of
right.
fees or anything.
But we're going to depend on you two to find that out for us. And also to look at the fiscal. If it goes to a work session, we will, of course, get a fiscal statement. But if there were just going to be a license fee, some kind of fee, or even a fee for the criminal check, there might not be a fiscal. The fees may pay for whatever.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Isn't there a way we can subcontract with, well, Andy, you would know that law enforcement folks weren't, didn't we just consider adding somebody to the LEDS database, and how much was that per person?
Did we?
Am I crossing
on the mental health?
Thing?
We talked about
the mental health thing.
Oh, yeah. But that's somewhat different.
Yeah, that's entirely different.
Yeah, I know. I'm not talking about that particular, but I'm thinking if you could subcontract with some agency that does criminal checks. I don't know how that's done. I don't really know.
I think I'm out of compliance if we keep talking about a bill and we're not in the public hearing.
Yeah, I think this is your work group that needs to be doing it.
Right.
We're having fun.
Oh, they're back again.
They've solved the problem.
Great. Right. Anything else for the good of the order? All right. See you at 8:30 on Monday morning. Happy 150. Sure. 150. Yeah. Do you want to get it started? Oh, honey, thank you so much. I close the Human Health Committee on Human Services.